Good morning. Thank you, Solomon, for your reading. I think he could do like an audio book. He just got this voice, so it was just perfect, so thank you. Sue, where are you? Yes, it's hot, and yes, I still love it. I just want you to know that. I enjoy the heat. I'd rather this over the other stuff anytime. We won't even speak of it. I'm just basking in the glory of the sun. My name is Paula Brown, for those of you who don't know me, and it is my blessing to share this message with you here in my Father's house. I'm just happy to be here with all of you, especially people who are coming here to learn a little more about God or maybe get some direction in their own lives. It's just always a pleasure and an honor just to be able to share God's message with you, especially with having my friends and my family come for, you know, the special time in my life. It's always they know how important God is to me, and I'm honored that I'm able to just be a witness for how much God loves you. I must confess that the process is a little different. I'm always excited and a little fascinated about what I'm going to learn through the process of preparing for these Sunday mornings. I know what he lays on my heart isn't just for you, it's for me as well. I learn through the whole process. I'm sure Stephen knows exactly what I mean. He just reveals himself in new ways, even when we think we start out on a certain path. It just unfolds, and it's a beautiful process to be a part of. The one thing that I've learned, though, is if you ask God to guide you and direct you, he will. The only thing is that you have to do it. Like, if you're asking for something, it requires an action. Asking God to say, hey, show me the way, show me what to do. He doesn't expect you to say, hey, go over there, and then you look over there and kind of take a picture or get a selfie with the way behind you. You're meant to be a part of whatever he directs you to do. And I think that's why this message came to me this morning. We are going to focus on Proverbs. So it was a very long passage, but I think it's important. There's lots of juicy nuggets in it. The book of Proverbs was written by Solomon, which I also thought was funny that you were reading, but maybe that was by design. I don't know, but I thought it was very funny, and because God's like that. And the Proverbs were written to teach people how to attain wisdom and discipline and living a prudent life, and how to do what is right and just and fair. Wikipedia, which, you know, I'm quoting Wikipedia because I can quote things from the interweb now. It's perfectly appropriate. That it describes Proverbs as a proverb as a simple and insightful traditional saying that expresses a perceived truth based on common sense or experience. The reading today was the entire book of Proverbs, but what I'm really focusing on is what inspired me. Proverbs 4, verses 25 to 27, and I'm going to read it a few times throughout the sermon. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the path for your feet to be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right and the left. Keep your foot from evil. It's about walking in a way, focusing on the direction that you're going in. And for some reason, when I read it, it really hit me. Like, it's about focusing. It's about paying attention to where you want to go. I remember when I first started taking driving lessons. I learned to drive when I was a little older. I was in my 20s because I grew up in Toronto and my parents live in the middle of the city. They've lived in the same house since 1972. So there were buses and streetcars everywhere. You didn't really need a car. And I remember when I was taking lessons, the instructor said one of the most important things to remember is you should always look where you want to go. The problem that a lot of people have is that when they're driving, they look at, oh, there's a store over there, or worse yet, there's an accident. And he said, invariably, if you focus on something, that's where your car is going to go. So if you want to go straight ahead, you have to pay attention to what's around you, but you need to focus on your destination. And I thought that was very good advice, And later, as I grew older, I realized how important those words were. I should find him and tell him that was a very useful nugget for life. It's a life lesson. You got to think about where you're going. You can see the other things around you, but you always have to focus. Don't turn and get distracted. You're going to lose your way. And I was fascinated. Just even going through this, remembering all of these things. God wants us to do well in this world. He wants us to, you know, focus on his mission so that everybody can understand and have eternal life. He wants us to do well, and he wants us to do active things, loving each other. And really, if we spend all of our time doing all the things that God wants us to do, to love each other, to care for each other, to spend time in his word, really, if you think about it, how much time do you have to do other stuff? There's a lot of stuff we should be doing. And if we fill our lives with the things that God wants us to do, it really doesn't leave much time for anything else. So what that led me to was thinking about the Israelites in the deserts, because they certainly lost their focus many times. God liberated his people after 400 years of slavery, and they often lost focus, and they turned their backs on God by worshiping idols and a lot of negative talk. They really were losing focus. I remember once a wise person had told me, don't remember who it was, but I know it was a wise person because I remember it, and they told me that there are many paths to the same destination. And I didn't really know what that meant, but as I raised my children, I remember we would go home and I'd say, no, we're going to take a different route today. And someone at that time said, you know, that's a very good habit, because people like routine, and sometimes it's good to shake things up and show them that there's different ways to get there. Everybody gets there in their time. And I think that that's what God does for us. He knows that we may go different ways. He has a path, but we can always divert. And the story of the Israelites showed us that. Because in the end, they got where they needed to be. You always end up home. Ultimately, the focus on the end goals allows with flexibility along the way, and you have different experiences. The Israelites eventually made it to the Promised Land, even though it took them longer than they expected. Through their journey, they experienced many lessons that are documented in Scripture. And thankfully, God loves us. He loves them, he loved them as well, and he allowed us to do these different things even when we lose our focus. It takes us a few tries before we get on the original path intended, but he'll be there waiting for us, and that's the beautiful part of it, if we always just focus on him. The story of the Israelites wandering in the desert for 40 years is a clear example of focus. Exodus 32 describes how people grew impatient. Moses was away, and they were just wondering and concerned about what was happening. And it says here, God, it said, come make us gods who will go before us. Gods with a lower class G. As for this fellow Moses who brought us to Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. That's all it took. It's one person. One person. It's like that experiment, you know, when you see one person standing in the middle of nowhere and they're just looking up. Wait long enough, everybody's looking up, trying to figure out what they're looking at. Nobody even knows, you know, what are you looking at? I don't know, but it's got to be important. There's a whole bunch of people looking at it. And that's what happens. That's all it takes, is one person to lead us astray, to help us to lose focus. And it's the same thing here, because in the next moment, they gathered gold, jewelry, and that people were wearing, put it together, and they built an idol in the shape of a calf. They created an altar. They turned it into a festival, saying that it was for the Lord, knowing full well that's not what the Lord wanted them to do. They completely lost focus. When they could have been actually praying to God for Moses' safe return, they could have been praying for deliverance to this promised land. Instead, they tried an alternate path, what they believed would be a quicker path, something even faster, and reverted to sacrifice burnt offerings and a wild celebration. This is far from what God had planned for them. In Numbers 13, there's another example of the Israelites losing focus. God had sent several representatives ahead to survey the land of Canaan, and they gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. They got distracted. You saw exactly, they saw exactly what they were meant to see. They had evidence of how beautiful it was. Yet what did they focus on? Some obstacle that they created in their own mind. If this is meant for you, then God will make it happen. You have to still believe. And it's that kind of dissension that really led to them taking longer to get to the promised land. They lost their focus, and they didn't truly believe. They lost faith. They made excuses not to take possession of the land that God had promised them. In the end, only Caleb and Joshua, there were only people of a certain age, that made it into the promised land, because only they wholeheartedly follow the Lord. Because in that situation, they still wanted to go, even though everybody wanted to back down. Imagine that. They were right there. They saw the gift. They saw the promise. Yet all they saw was the roadblocks. It happens to all of us. We don't see the blessing sitting right in front of us. All we see is the tiny little problem, and we make that even bigger than it is supposed to be. There are so many examples throughout Scripture where people have lost focus. And that's why it's important to remember the Scripture from earlier today. I'm going to read it again from Proverbs 4, 25 to 27. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right and the left. Keep your foot from evil. When we talk about moving away from distractions, about focusing on our path, what are we really supposed to be doing? I mean, we're clearing out all of this time. We're looking towards God. What's the purpose in all of that? And it's really simple. Reading Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20, it states, "The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The passage has come to be known as the Great Commission. And really, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be sharing our faith with others, bringing them to understand who Jesus really is. It's a daunting task. And we think about how we're supposed to reach others. I know right now, and historically, there's been a lot of questions about conversion and the conversation about how we bring people to faith. Christianity has been introduced in some cases with love and in some cases, unfortunately, with force. And it's a new day and we have fresh eyes and the only place to learn how to do this really is already embedded in the Scripture. How do we reach people who are different, who believe things that are different? How do you share that message of Jesus? In my recent devotional studies, I was reading Romans 14. I'm sure I've read it before, but it stood out in a way that it hadn't before, and that's kind of what led me here. Starting at verse 1, it says, "Accept one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. The one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand and fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand." Later in verse 13, it says, "Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister." And that was jarring for me. Because I thought to myself, I'm not always that person. Sometimes I do have a little bit of, I'm a right Christian. I know the way. I know what people are supposed to be doing. And I can tell you, if they ask, well, this is what's wrong. And maybe that's not really the right way. Maybe it's focusing on God, sharing the gospel with other people. There is no inside track. God uses people from all different walks of life, different traditions, that we all love the Lord, and to judge each other, it's just the wrong platform to be sharing our faith. We can point out what's missing in their lives without really thinking about what's missing in ours. And who knows? It's all about God. And I think we spend a lot of time judging people. And when we're doing that judgment, exercising those activities, I think we're losing focus. We're trying to win numbers of people. Is it a chart that we're keeping? We want to build numbers? No. It's about Jesus. It's about getting them to understand the sacrifice that was made for them. How we do that is how Jesus did it. He did it with love. There's so much more to it, so much depth, and you just got to go to a deeper level than just speaking about what's different. It's about focusing. Jesus showed love to the world, always. He demonstrated pure love. And it wasn't typical of the way people behaved in that time. And it certainly isn't typical of the way people behave now. We can do better as followers of Jesus. When my daughter was little, she gave me permission to tell the story because, you know, people don't like stories about them, so I talked to her. It's nothing serious. She would tell me stories about how beautiful I was, and I realized she needed glasses, and I'm going to get to that. Hold on a second, I kind of lost my place here. So another thing I want to share with you is that, goodness, I started to laugh. She needed glasses because she was demonstrating all those telltale signs. You know, looking at books, the books to her nose, she can't see, it's books right here, sitting right close to the TV. So we took her to the eye doctor, and the eye doctor confirmed that she needed glasses. Yeah, she used to tell me I was beautiful. Once she got her glasses, it wasn't one of those touching YouTube videos that you see on social media. You know, they all made me smile. She looked at me and she said, "I had no idea your face was so bumpy." That's clarity. Those beautiful frames that cost an arm and a leg, and all I get is a bumpy face. I mean, it was hurtful. Girl, it hurt me. But the reality is she saw me for who I was. And she still, you still love me, right? Yeah, it was shocking. I was expecting one of those beautiful moments, and it was way, way far from that. So I wanted to tell a beautiful story. But the beautiful thing is she saw me for who I was, and it was still there, and it was still beautiful. And I think that's what it's like. Like, you have to go to the deeper level, not just seeing things on the surface. She saw this beautiful, fuzzy mother, all perfect, and then she saw the reality of who I was, and she loved me anyway. I think going to that deeper level is critical. Teaching folks about faith isn't a competition. We're meant to help each other along. We're supposed to love and share without judging. I know it's simple, but Jesus did that, and I said that earlier. He did it with an open mind and an open heart, and that is exactly what drew people to him. It was different, and that's what we need to be in the world, a little bit different. Actually, we can even imagine, can you imagine somebody behaving that now? What would we say? Would we recognize that person? Would we dismiss him? I hope I would do the right thing. If there's something that we're doing with someone we're talking to, some tradition we have that makes them uncomfortable, then perhaps we can back off a little bit. Our faith is strong. In that moment, if somebody is unsure, you have to help them feel safe. And I think that that's what that message taught me. I didn't really think about protecting people that I'm talking to. I just want to share, I want to give, and I'm not thinking about how they're receiving the information. And I'm not saying that what we do is wrong or what you're doing is wrong, but if you're removing a stumbling block, it may open it up so that people can focus and eventually experience Jesus. We as a people must commit to avoid distractions. You know, those shiny things that interest us, the things on the side, the activities that keep us too busy to pray, too busy to spend time with God, too busy to talk to someone who needs to share, too busy to be ready for whatever and whoever comes our way. It's highly unlikely that we even recognize the opportunities if we continue to be distracted. So when we're focused, we're praying, we ask for openness, we'll see the opportunity. Some of them have been sitting there and we just didn't ask for it. Our eyes were blind to it. And I know that I've been highlighting times when there was a lack of focus. But there's an example in Matthew chapter 2, verse 9, where it tells the story of Jesus. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. They had seen, and the star they had seen when it rose ahead of them until it stopped over a place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw this child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In this example, the Magi did not get distracted. They were able to find their way to Jesus by focusing on that star. It's important. Distractions are real in this society. With social media, we have fashion, there's sports, there's gaming, there's so many things that can get in the way of what we're here to do. Always keep your eyes on the prize. And that's salvation. And it's not your own, not just your salvation, but the salvation for the world. Don't we want everybody to be there? It's the best gift ever. And we can follow the Lord's direction by sharing it with others. We can do our part if we make time to be with him and understand who we are and what our gifts are so that we can share them with the world in the midst of distractions. Waste is a terrible thing. We hear about it all the time. There's a lot of conversations about recycling and composting, all these things that are unused. But the greatest waste is the spiritual gifts that we have. And we're just sitting on them. We're not using them. It must make God sad. He's given you these blessings. Ask him if you don't know what they are, figure out what they are, and just put them into use. Pray about it. Because we all have something that we can share. We're designed that way. Even when you don't feel like you do, I'm sure there's something. I know there is. It's not even me. God has put us all here for a purpose. And you just got to figure out what it is and not waste it. We want the Father to be happy with what we're doing. And I think glorifying the kingdom, moving the kingdom of God further ahead is a good thing. I used to work with this executive. And he had this way about him. I worked in a very dynamic organization. The meetings were colorful and filled with chaos. And I remember there would be people yelling and pointing and rage, and that's just how they communicated. And this man would start talking in barely a whisper. People didn't know what to do because he had a lot of insights. It changed the energy of the room. The loud voices would cease, the body animation would slow down, and everybody would just lean in silence so they could hear what he was saying. He would successfully take control of the meeting, not by competing, but by drawing them in and focusing on the topic at hand. It was brilliant. We once had a conversation about it because I asked him if he really knew if it was intentional or, you know, I love the way you do this. And he said, yeah, I do it intentionally because I don't have a strong voice. I sound kind of weak. I'm not very good at yelling. So I capitalize on my quietness and it seems to work for me. He learned how to take advantage of what he thought was a weakness and it made things better for everybody. So that's the thing with spiritual gifts. We may not know we have them. We may think that everything about us is negative, but you don't know how to use it. And maybe that's all you need is to talk to God, and he'll help you learn how to use whatever gifts you've been given. So let's remember to keep our focus so that we can share this message of salvation with everyone. Always consider that there are many ways to get to that same destination. And know that following that light directly will take us to where we need to be when we're clear of distractions. This is supported by the Israelites being in the desert for 40 years. I know we often say that they were wandering in the desert, but really they were learning lessons each day that were eventually shared with the world. We've learned so much from their experiences. We must work to clear distractions, stop being distracted by things that get in the way, by stumbling blocks that hinder those around us. We should all just lean in and take it all in, and we'll find God there. He's going to show us the way. Let's pray together. Father God, we are so thankful for the sacrifice that you made for this world. We are thankful for Jesus, who lived a pure life. We focus on his mission to give his life to atone for our sins. He paid the ultimate price, and we are so grateful. Help us to share this message with others. Help us to help others as he did, to love our neighbors as ourselves, which sometimes is the most challenging. Lord, help us to love ourselves even when we feel low, struggling with day-to-day battles. There's so many of us struggling with painful grief from loss. Lord, hear our prayers and direct us to show comfort and compassion to others. Those who are struggling with financial woes, Lord, please help them see options for relief. Lord, those who struggle with health issues, whether they be physical, mental health issues, be with them and to those who care for them. Help your people. We ask that if we don't feel your presence in dark times, that you find ways to reach us so that we can feel your love. Help us to remove the distractions in this world so that we can focus on you and feel a peace that can only be experienced with you. Help us to spend time in your word. It empowers us to serve your kingdom. It gives us the knowledge and strength to stand up like lights in the community. Help us to be the light that blinds distractions, as in Matthew 5:14-16, where it is stated, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. It gives light to everyone in this house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. May they see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Lord, help us to blur out the distractions and focus on you. In the name of your precious Son, we ask all of these things. Amen.